Hi, I'm John Byrne, executive editor of Business Week. Welcome to our podcast of Behind This Week's Cover Story, our series that gets inside the making of this issue's major story. And that was the Beach Boys with their 1966 masterpiece, Pet Sounds. Why? Because this week's cover story is on the pet economy. Why Americans spend an astonishing $41 billion a year on their furry friends. You know, it's a dog's life. In generations past, that meant sleeping outside or sitting by the dinner table, waiting for a few scraps to land on the floor. Nobody worried about whether you were bored until you wandered out of the yard and got run over by a car. In that case, your owners would probably instruct the vet to end your life. The only outfit you ever appeared in was an occasional bow around the neck at holiday time. And neutering, ouch, was done without concern to your self-esteem. But this week's cover story points to a very different destiny for today's dog. Americans are spending big bucks on their pets. In fact, the annual spending is expected to hit $52 billion in the next 2 years. And the cost isn't just from cute little tops and yummier treats. Consumers are now treating pets as furry humans, complete with a whole new set of human needs. We'll be back in a moment to talk about all this with the author of our cover story, senior writer Diane Brady.
Sharing is good. That's the philosophy that has guided Sun since the beginning. We believe sharing creates better ideas that can move business, society, and the world forward. Visit sun.com to learn more.
Diane.
John.
Roof, roof.
Meow.
Welcome.
Great to be here.
Now, this is a wild and wacky cover story for Business Week. How in the world did you basically sell this to the editors?
Well, I went first to the dog owners on staff, but it's a huge business. I
mean, strategy.
It's not just about the fun, fluffy things people are doing for their pets. This is $41 billion. You're seeing major players get into the game. Companies that would never have thought of pets 5 years ago are now making it a big portion of their business. So it's relevant to our readers. And let's face it, what is it, 71 million households? A lot of people in this country own pets, and they're treating them really differently these days.
Well, what's changed with the way we treat pets?
I think the big thing is we humanize them, and that is not something that took place decades ago. And there are probably a lot of different reasons. I personally think one of the big reasons is who owns pets, which is it used to be that they were just for kids. Now you're seeing empty nesters, you're seeing single people, couples without kids. They're basically surrogate children, and they're treating them like that. And then the whole medical sphere is just reinforcing it.
In fact, you say in your story that the yearly cost of buying, feeding, and caring for pets exceeds all the combined spending on movies, playing video games, even one of my favorites, listening to recorded music.
Yeah, and I think that the national spending exceeds the GDP of all but 64 countries in the world. That's now. Wait till it's $52 billion. It's huge.
Okay, so Americans now spend $41 billion. You're thinking that in 2 years alone, that's going to jump to $52 billion. Aren't we witnessing nothing more than the makings of a bubble that's going to burst the minute there's a downturn in the economy?
I mean, we'll get our jobs and say, Fido, get your own damn bone. People I talk to think something fundamental has changed. They think the world has changed and the status of animals has changed. So I think that there's every indication that maybe there's a lot of euphoria in the market, but I don't think there's a turning back from people I talk to, and I tried to get as many skeptics as I could. I think we're seeing a growth in the status of animals, and it's just going to continue.
Now, it's inevitable to me that people are going to read this story and say, this is yet another piece that explores American excess. How in the world can Americans spend that kind of money on their animals?
Well, it's those who can. I think it does raise ethical questions. One, obviously, is it's a lot of money that could be spent on other things. But it's a very personal relationship people have with their pets. You know, I think science is also reinforcing that the human-animal bond. But you know, some people will look at it as another symptom of the decline and fall. That's, you know, and other people will see it as positive. Finally, we're treating our dogs and cats the way they should have been treated 30 years ago.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, that makes me think about your lead, which frankly makes me shift in my chair.
Nudicles.
Yes. Explain.
Patented testicular implants, and the inventor/founder, Greg Miller, he came up with the idea because he was very sad to think of his bloodhound Buck getting his manhood taken away from him. But the thing that I found fascinating is he sold more than 240,000 pairs of these things, and they can cost up to, you know, close to $1,000 if you want the most natural ones. So people thought he was nuts, so to speak, but a lot of people are buying it.
What are they made from, silicone?
The cheap ones are plastic, or maybe some up high-scale plastic, but the cheaper ones are $94. You get up to $900+, you're talking silicone for sure.
Now, you say in your story that some of them have been put into water buffaloes and monkeys.
I think that's more for testing purposes. The vast bulk of them, some of them have been put into rats, too. There was some university that felt a need to put nudicles into rats. For what reason, I'm not sure, but most of them are dogs. You know, one thing with cats is they don't leave the house, so people don't seem to get as self-conscious about whether their cats have self-esteem or not because they're stuck in the living room.
Now, clearly that's excessive.
I think it is. I think when you start projecting emotions onto your pets, then it has a problem. You see with the drugs, too, with all these drugs for separation anxiety and depression, I don't know if dogs really feel separation anxiety just because they're barking when you leave the house. I also think neutering may not be pleasant for any male on the planet, but I don't think it's a self-esteem issue for dogs. That's my own view.
I mean, you mentioned the drug for separation anxiety. It's shocking to me, frankly, that Eli Lilly would be selling that drug, and it's similarly shocking for Pfizer to be selling a drug for dog obesity.
There's money to be made. And, you know, one of the things with these companies is they already have a lot of the research in place. You know, the separation anxiety drug is based on the same ingredients that are in Prozac. So if your dog's personality starts to change and, you know, they decide they become more type A, maybe it's because they're taking that separation anxiety drug.
You point out that 40% of dogs are estimated to be overweight or obese. Mm-hmm. I guess there's a natural demand for this obesity drug.
Well, you're seeing it with, I think, people who are obese perhaps tend to think of treating themselves with food. Perhaps they have the same behavior for their dogs. But one of the things you're seeing is people are, you know, strollers. There are now strollers for dogs and cats. I'm not kidding. They cost about $240. And the reality is, that's not good for anybody, but especially not for a pet. They want to get out and run around. And this whole emphasis on treats, Del Monte's a big one in this. They've taken these treats and they now shape them like potato chips, like eggs, like bacon. And people now are constantly plying their pets with treats. In reality, they don't need it. It makes us feel good. It makes them fat.
And the biggest jump in costs are in medical care, right?
Right.
I mean, you point out that 77% of dogs and 52% of cats have been medicated in the past year. Shocking numbers.
Yeah, and that's not all for being sick. A lot of it is preventive medicine. You know, maybe it's these nutraceuticals and such to try and make them healthier. But one of the biggest expenses is what we would consider in the human world to be end-of-life care. There used to be a time when, you know, your dog would be in pain and you'd put it down, or your cat. Now we're seeing MRIs, chemotherapy, hospice care, drastic measures to prolong life by a few months. And that's where I think you get into a lot of the ethical areas, and also where you get into a lot of the huge expenses, the same as you do for the rest of us.
Now, most of the spending is all on dogs and cats, not birds, fish, turtles, or any other kind of pet you might have in your house, right?
Yeah, most of it is. But I came across a relatively large number of people who are spending what would be considered a lot of money, say, on their hamsters, a couple of $100 to save a hamster. I met one woman who spent, I think, close to $1,000 on her rabbit when it got some tumor. So I think that that attachment is toward a lot of different animals, and certainly birds. A lot of the bird owners on staff came up to me after this story was written and talked about their fond emotions for their birds as well. Maybe it's that we're so isolated these days, or we're all so busy working from home and on the internet that we feel closer to whatever little breathing thing comes within 40 feet of us. I don't know, but cats and dogs are special.
88 million cats in this country, 75 million dogs. I love the quote from the CEO of PetSmart, which I guess is the largest pet retailer in the world, who says, you can't train a fish or groom a snake.
Which some snake owners and fish owners might disagree with, but it's true. I mean, where's the money to be made? It's those creatures that you can really dress up and do something with, and especially dogs. As I said, cats don't get out of the house, so the dogs are really the ones that are getting the special outfits, the special treats, the indoor potties, the perfume. I mean, it's a huge growth of entrepreneurialism in that area.
You say half of all dog owners say they consider their pet's comfort when buying a car. Almost a third buy gifts for their dog's birthdays. 42% of dogs in America now sleep in the same bed as their owners. And that's up from 34% in 1998. How much of this can we blame Paris Hilton and her little chihuahua on?
A Tinkerbell? I think that if you see a dog wearing an Oscar gown, then let's blame that on Paris Hilton. She actually has her own line with this company, Little Lily, I think it's called. So she's a factor. I think the fact that the paparazzi go after her dog maybe has inspired the rest of us to live through our pets. But, you know, it's all over the place. It's not just Paris. For some reason, we find our dogs cuter than ever, and we want to make them cuter than ever. And it's become this game almost of the way people kind of get into competing over kids. You go to a dog run, especially here in New York City, people are competing over their dogs. And outfits is a big part of it.
There's one guy in your story, I had to really laugh at this, who apparently lives in L.A., who paid a $500 plane ticket to get his Chow Chow mix from Atlanta to his home. And as he said, I call him my 401k with paws because that's where all my money goes.
It's true. And he hadn't even met the Chow Chow at that point. This was a friend who said, I have a Chow Chow. And all of a sudden he was putting him on a plane. But it was love at first sight. And now he's one of those people in the stories who, if you're looking for a rhinestone collar on a dog, chances are his has one.
Even the way the CEO of PetSmart described his mission for his stores was fascinating to me. Explain.
Yeah. Well, basically, they used to be the supplier to pet owners, and a lot of it was price-driven. Now, he's got this emphasis of making people better pet parents, and that's sort of playing to the idea of maybe not self-actualization in your pet, but everything else, services, grooming. He has these pet hotels that have become very popular in his stores. And that has everything from, I mean, they're literal hotels. They're blue shingled. They've got Animal Planet playing 24/7, special porous floors for the dogs to pee, and a filtration system so that they don't get to smell the cats, who have their own special suites.
Yes, and let's not forget my favorite detail. The cats get to watch live fish tanks in their rooms.
Which creates a dilemma for the people who want to board their fish.
So, do you have a pet, Diane?
I get pets thrust upon me by my sisters. So at the moment, I have two Siamese cats, and about a week ago, I had a lab chow mix. But no, I'm one of those people who's resisting at the moment having a pet. Much as I love them, three little kids is enough.
I have mixed feelings about this story. At one point, I'm completely outraged, and then I have to admit that I spoil my dog as well. So, you know.
Do you put it in frilly outfits?
My dog has a few outfits, I have to say. My dog gets too many treats. There's no extreme. There's no plastic surgery. There's no medication. But my dog lives a happy life. Now, guess my dog's name.
Your current dog's name?
Yeah, I have a King Charles Spaniel.
Lady.
Very close. Maddie.
Is that close?
Now we're going to do a little lightning round here with you. We have to.
Oh, no.
Okay. My first dog as a child was named after a famous brand of peanut butter.
Jif.
Skippy.
Oh.
My second dog, a yellow lab, is named after an obscure rock group.
Can I get a better hint?
No. Commander Cody.
Oh, of course. Tip of my tongue.
And let's go back to the Beach Boys. On the cover of Pet Sounds, there's several animals.
I know that. Goats.
You're right. They're goats. And where was the album cover photographed?
San Diego Zoo.
Oh, Diane, I am very impressed.
2 out of 5.
Extremely impressed. Well, thanks for a terrific story.
Thank you.
Meow.